Blog Talk Radio.
And here we are. This is our live broadcast from HIMSS 2013. Welcome, everyone. My name is Greg Bansers. I'm here today with my co-host, Pat Talbert. And we are broadcasting live from NOLA, New Orleans, the Big Easy. And this is actually, I believe it may be day two of pre-conference activities, but day one for us on site here at the conference. Pat, are you with us?
I am. So excited to be here in NOLA.
Yeah, excellent. So how's your 24 hours been in the Big Easy?
Well, it's not quite 24 hours yet. I got in last night at 10:30, hit the hotel about 11:30, and had a wonderful opportunity this morning to see the city via the trolley from the Garden District.
Yeah, and it's been a tad chilly here, unseasonably so.
Yeah, the people at the hotel said this was freezing for them. I'm not sure the people in Minnesota would agree.
Yeah, it's all about context, right? So, Pat, we're sort of getting our act together here on day one of our broadcast schedule, and we're looking at some pre-conference activities. I thought what we would discuss today is our horizon for the week, and I know for one, we're actually going to be able to chat with Dr. Rob Lambert, who we spoke with last week on the show, and he is actually keynoting this morning at the Leading from the Future workshop on accountable care, quality, and other types of initiatives. So he's going to be, we're going to be teeing him up today at 11:30 Central Time on our live streaming broadcast. I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk to Rob. He's definitely out of the box when it comes to his perspectives on healthcare and health IT.
Agreed. So we haven't had a chance to talk, so this is our first exchange. But on Friday, you took control of the commands here at Blog Talk Central, and we had Phil Pisano from CIO of Kaiser Permanente on the show, and Christine Filecki, your partner over at Via Healthcare Consultants, was the primary interviewer. I have to say that she was superb.
Yeah, I think it's hereditary. Her mother was a radio talk show host for many years, and this was Chris's first attempt, and she hit it out of the ballpark.
It must be in the DNA, then. You're right. That was very good. I was impressed. She's actually going to make me up my game in terms of her interviewing style. I must say I was very jealous. So, Christine, if you're listening, bravo. Well, job well done. So, Pat, what's on your agenda today?
My agenda today includes, in addition to the interview with Dr. Rob, I'm hoping to squeeze in actually a course called Build Your Own Mobile App. I think you know that I have a company, HealthTech Hatch, and we're all about supporting app developers and other healthcare innovators. And I thought that it would be really fun to go and hang out with people who are building a mobile app and give it a try myself. And then following that, there is actually a reception for physicians who are attending HIMSS, and I will be dropping in on that before going to the opening reception and doing some video interviewing with the team over, I believe, at the House of Blues. Is that right, Greg?
Yes, I think you got that one right. I'm we're a little bit sort of disheveled here as we're getting set up. We've got Leonard Kish, who's remote in Denver, and right behind me is our executive producer and media guy extraordinaire, Nate De Niro, also known on Twitter as Uncle Nate of Open Affairs TV, and he's getting our live streaming camera set up. So I'm sort of multitasking here with the switchboard and trying to figure out how we get ready for our 11:30 interview. But that sounds good to me.
So, Greg, would it be helpful to talk a little bit about tomorrow, Monday, the first day of the conference, and the events that we have lined up here for HIBC-TV, HIBC-TV, starting at 9 in the morning with Greg Masters interviewing the folks from DepMed, an interesting company that is has technology to help track whether you've washed your hands in the hospital. Instead of just hoping that people do it or calling people out when they don't do it, it's an electronic way of tracking and then being able to work with people to encourage hand washing. A very old public health technique and one that is too often ignored in hospital and other settings.
And that's some simple technique that has a huge payoff from what I understand.
Yeah, a huge payoff, and lots of effort has gone into trying to figure out how to get people to do this, including organizing people. I've seen one program where they actually trained people to call out the folks who haven't washed their hands, and instead of after saying, "Hey, Joe, I see you didn't wash your hands," or "Hey, Dr. Smith, I see you didn't wash your hands," they developed this, the hospital in Canada developed a code word, which was, I don't remember what it was exactly, but, you know, "Hey, Henry Jones," and if you, even the person who's cleaning the hospital or the lab tech or anybody who happens to see somebody walk out of the patient room and not wash their hands can say, "Hey, Henry Jones." So remind you that you didn't wash your hands in a low-tech way. And what I really like about what DepMed is up to is that in this day, in this electronic era, we can move away from that really low-tech solution into one that's more high-tech and have an electronic surveillance and a way of actually enhancing your program to be sure that hand washing takes place.
So let me ask you this. I seem to recall back in my hospital days that nosocomial infection rates were kind of a big problem, and even with all the interventional techniques and technologies that we've developed over the last three decades, I'm not sure that the needles move much. Is that correct?
Well, I think that's correct for healthcare in general. Look how long it's taken for us to get an uptick with respect to EHRs, but eventually the needle starts moving, and when it starts moving, we can go from 20 to 100 relatively quickly, and let's hope that happens with hand washing.
Right.
Some of the other things that are up for tomorrow are Tim's annual media brunch, where they'll be reviewing the results of their survey, always an interesting meeting. And HIBC-TV will then reconvene with an interview of Dr. Denise Desau, who's the VP and General Manager and Editor-in-Chief of UpToDate. And she's going to be talking to us about an interesting global health initiative, which is in partnership with the Global Health Delivery Project at Harvard University. And she'll be discussing how UpToDate Global Health Initiative will be supporting clinicians who are practicing in resource-limited settings. And what I mean by that are developing countries or even areas in this country where resources are severely constrained. And she's going to be discussing how they are coordinating donated prescriptions to up to date for docs in that setting, how they're developing clinical content specific to the needs of clinicians in these settings. You know, content for those of us who practice in high-tech settings in the U.S. Don't really translate very well when you're in a clinic in Burma, for example. And so it'll be really interesting to see and be able to talk to her about what is a content-specific clinical content specific to the needs of people in those settings. She's also going to be talking about a dedicated community global health initiative online, where there's online sharing of expertise with other clinicians. And finally, talking about continuing medical education. So I'm really excited to have an opportunity to talk with Dr. Dayko.
Sounds good.
Frank, what are you up to for tomorrow?
I'm trying to coordinate here between Skype and cell phone calls on the switchboard. It's not easy. Tomorrow? Jeez, I can't even think that far back.
So all of you, everybody out there listening to us on This Week in Health Innovation can get a sense of our ability to roll with the punches and add ribs as we go along. Some of the other things that I'm up to tomorrow is there is a Verizon press meeting where there'll be a big announcement. I can't tell you more about what it is because it wasn't shared with us ahead of time, but I'm really excited to see what Verizon is up to. Their entry into this space has been pretty impressive, and I have to say, as a clinician who trained in the 80s, I never would have thought that big telecom would be a major player in healthcare, but indeed they have become, and I think will continue to be major players as we move away from get in your car and drive to the appointment to anytime, anywhere at your fingertips mobile health medicine. Greg,
okay.
Any comments about that?
Hold on. I think I'm trying to loop Leonard in. I don't know if he's on the call. Leonard, are you on the call? No, he's not. But if you don't mind, let me take back up a little bit, and I want to ask you a question as a result of the last week's interview.
Okay.
Are you open for that? So, you know, we've had some interesting perspective from the Kaiser camp up to and including your experience there as well. And clearly, Kaiser is a world unto its own in terms of integrated delivery, in terms of seamless care, in terms of embracing electronic health records and such. But that's just not the case for the rest of the healthcare industry and medicine overall. And one of our colleagues posted on the healthcare blog a piece about the New York Times article, and he was fairly, I would say, sanguine or sober about this land grab or this public giveaway of tax dollars to force an industry to adopt things that they should have adopted but have not been willing to adopt. It has painted kind of an interesting picture on the industry right now, which is kind of, I think you got to it last week saying it's heavy lifting time. So you have... I don't know if you got a chance to see that blog post by Michael.
Yes, I did.
So do you have any thoughts about what you read and as we're looking at the conference, has that in any way influenced or shaped what you're looking at?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an interesting question. Look, electronic health records are a work in progress, and if you look at what Kaiser Permanente has done, they're a big, as you mentioned, big integrated delivery system. I am a former Kaiser physician and physician executive, but most currently, I am also a Kaiser patient. And I can tell you, in the context of that big integrated delivery system, the electronic health record and the personal health record, the whole Kaiser Connect system that they built, works really well for the docs and for the patients. And as Phil Fasano said in our interview with him on Friday, there aren't any permanent physicians that would go back to paper. It works for that setting. But we've heard loud and clear, and I think we'll hear again when we interview Dr. Lambert in person in our video interview this afternoon, that those big systems don't necessarily work in all practice settings. And I think that what you're going to see is as we continue in this evolution of what it means to do electronic health records, and that is not just a documentation system, but also a true system that supports patient care, that there will be a lot of changes that take place. And I think if I read Michael's article correctly, and I'm hoping we'll be able to interview him on This Week in Health Innovation sometime this week, it is a concern that there were some big winners in the early entrants in the electronic health record who have built systems that lots of people are complaining about now as the electronic health records move out of big integrated systems and into smaller practices. And I think that's a natural evolution of any industry. You never go from the beginning to something full-blown that works really well for everyone without a lot of glitches along the way. So in terms of taxpayer money and some folks making a lot of money, I think I'm going to leave that to Michael to explore when we have a chance to interview him later this week.
So as a physician, what is in the way of taking the Kaiser model and essentially diffusing it into mainstream medicine?
Well, I think the biggest thing we heard from Dr. Lambert, look, if you're at Kaiser, you have wraparound systems. I mean, even as far back as the early 80s when I was a clinician at Kaiser through the 90s, I was never alone. We had a common chart, which is what electronic health records were trying to get to, even though it was paper, even in those early days. And there's also a Kaiser culture of group practice and wrap around in terms of any kind of support system that I want, health education, social workers, help with domestic violence, any of those kinds of ancillary support systems and people are there within the Kaiser system, and they're not there if you're practicing in a smaller setting. And so what you need in those settings in terms of an electronic health record is really quite different, I think. And even being able to have all the members of the team be able to chart into the common record, it isn't necessarily happening in some of the off-the-shelf, big-box kinds of electronic health records. And those things have to evolve.
So I was surprised to hear Dr. Madison say that even with their commitment, their group practice DNA, if you will, and their substantial financial commitment into a, quote, off-the-shelf EHR and all of the customizations that they did for the Kaiser system, even to this day, present day, they were he's saying that it's not uncommon for physicians to basically come in and articulate, a laundry list of things that they're necessarily not happy. It's not about being happy with, but, hey, we need these enhancements to the system. So even in the death in class, if you will, maybe it's not quite there yet, and it's going to be sort of a continuous learning experience and process of improvement. Where's that phone?
I think that's true. I want to say just a couple of words about what it's like to be a patient in a system that has a sophisticated sophisticated system like a Kaiser Connect, I can make all my appointments with my primary care doctor online. I email her. I rarely have to go in for something that is routine, like getting the results of my labs. All the lab results will show up within 24 to 48 hours on the electronic record. I can go back, because I've been a Kaiser member actually my entire adult life, I can go back and look at my glucose levels over years. I can chart it or graph it. I could download it. I can order my prescription medications online. For me, it's the way I want to consume healthcare, which is integrated into my life at home, on the road, and not getting in my car and driving out to a Kaiser Medical Center, sitting in a waiting room, and seeing my physician for 15 minutes. I do that, but I do that once a year.
Right, and that's of its own right is an enormous improvement of what's generally available in terms of the average patient interacting with the average public.
Let me tell you a funny story. As I was living in Texas for a few years, and I continued my Kaiser membership, but I had a very rich PPO coverage within Texas, and I decided to go and see a doc down in Texas about an issue that I was having, and I downloaded all my records from Kaiser, all of my labs, and I took him in to see this doc. He didn't even look at them. He just said, "Oh, I can't use any of that. Go to the lab, and I'm going to order them all again." Right? complete waste. And yet, it was standard of care in this fee for service private practice setting. All of that needs to go once all of us, the entire country and all the practice settings are on electronic health records, and hopefully sometime in the next decade, those electronic health records can talk to each other across systems.
Hopefully. Okay, well, unless you have anything else that you would like to detail, I would say we're finding our way here in the press room in the Senate facility, so pardon the audio quality for those of you who are listening in today. We're going to perfect that and make it a little more studio quality on our next broadcast. So was there anything else, Pat?
No, I don't think so. I'm just waiting for that final closing music.
And we will be posting our schedule on the site shortly as we have firmed things up with our guests and our reporters. So let me, with no further ado, if I can cue this up, say that it is our sign-off music, which should be getting familiar now. This is Greg Masters for the Health Innovation Broadcast Consortium on behalf of Pat Sullivan, my partner today. I say thank you for listening in. We'll do this daily at 9 a.m. Central Time for Live This Week in NOLA. Hims live from Hims in NOLA. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Sit down one day under the old apple tree. The apples looked so good to me, I ate up the whole darn tree. Come see about me. Come see about me. Come see about me. I ate up the apple tree. Now Adam took a bite out of the apples one day, and the juice came running out. That's when you and I and everybody found out what love was all about. Come see about me. Come see about me.